Hello and welcome to this International Airport Review podcast. For this episode, I spoke to Salt Lake City Airport's Director for Airports, Bill Wyatt. In this podcast, we discuss the many sustainability initiatives that are furthering Salt Lake City Airport's commitment to being as green and eco-friendly as possible. Remember to subscribe to International Airport Review to be notified of all future podcasts. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this exclusive International Airport Review podcast. Today, I'm joined by the Director of Airports at Salt Lake City Corporation, Bill Wyatt. Thank you very much for joining me today, Bill.
Thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. So Bill has been at this tenure for over 6 years and has previously worked in senior roles, including the Executive Director of Port of Portland, Chief of Staff to Governors, and has been President of Oregon Business Council. The focus of today's podcast will be about Bill's work in promoting sustainable development for Salt Lake City airports. We will be deep diving into what exactly these objectives are, some of the unique characteristics of SLCA's sustainability plans, and getting an update of how they are doing more generally. Without further ado, let's get started. So I guess my first question to you would be, would you please just start by introducing yourself to our audience and explaining what your role means for Salt Lake City Airport, please?
I am Bill Wyatt, and I have been in this business, as it were, for well over 20 years. Prior to coming to Salt Lake, I was the executive director of the Port of Portland, which owns Portland International and also owns four marine terminals and lots of industrial land. And I had actually retired there, not intending to not work again, but rather I was ready for something new, and must have been true because shortly thereafter, I received a call from the firm that had been hired to identify candidates for the position of Executive Director of Airports for Salt Lake City. So I applied and was successful. And as you indicated, that was about 6 years ago. And it was at that time that the project that we're now occupying actually was just beginning to come out of the ground. It's a very unusual project because we're building, in essence, a brand new airport on top of the bones of the old airport. So virtually nothing remains from the old Salt Lake City Airport. I can look out my window here and see a tarmac with planes on it, which is where the old parking garage used to be. And the tarmac itself sits on a base of crushed concrete that came from the old parking garage. So we reused as much of the old facilities as possible. As executive director, you know, my job is to oversee all aspects of the daily operation of the airport, to report to the mayor. We have an advisory board that I also report to, and the project management team leader, who is in charge of the day-to-day construction project, reports to me as well.
Okay, so there's like a tier of everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that you're sort of rebuilding on old material, because I know that when I read about airport development, people tend to be doing a lot of new things and new construction. But I think it's pretty environmentally friendly how you're sort of rebuilding on sort of older landscape.
I think we were able to recycle 80% of the old airport. Obviously, there are some materials which just are not suitable for that purpose. But yeah, it was pretty exciting and frankly, cost effective, because had we not been using that material, we would have had to take it somewhere, number one, and number two, bring material on to the airport to substitute for that purpose. So it can be cost effective. Most people think about sustainability as incurring additional costs, but there is a financial component to sustainability as well that makes it, I think, very exciting.
Absolutely. Completely agree with that. So moving on to my next question, I wanted to ask, so the Salt Lake City Department for Airports, you recently published your annual ESG report for the airport. So could you just tell the audience what the report found of the Salt Lake City Airport, please?
Well, let me just start with what ESG is, because it is a fairly new thing, particularly for municipal organizations. And I find in the airport world, there are many people in leadership positions who are not familiar with it. And it may be because they're not currently in the debt markets. And what we've discovered is that bond investors, people who are buying airport bonds, are definitely focused on ESG. They want to know the environmental, social, governance backbone of the organization. Where are you? Are you paying attention to your environmental footprint, your carbon consumption? How are people who work for the organization but work at the airport generally treated? And what is the impact that we have on surrounding neighborhoods and so on and so forth? And then finally, how is the airport governed? Who owns it? How does it operate? Is it transparent? And so on and so forth. So it is a relatively new thing, and we decided, because we've been in the bond market every year, essentially every year since we began construction. So it feels like old hat to us, having done this now twice. But in the early stages, it took a little while to get used to this idea of publishing a report on how we fared. And the reality is we fared quite well. And I think largely that is because from almost the immediate early stages of development, the airport and the city that owns the airport have been very clear that we're going to be held to very high standards, particularly in terms of the environmental impact of the airport. And so the report reflects that. The new airport will be completed to a LEED Gold standard, which for an airport, I mean, when you think about what airports do, that's a pretty remarkable thing. We are slowly but surely electrifying the airport campus. We are requiring that all of our airlines use electric ground service equipment, so the bag tugs, the cargo unloading devices and belts, and the mobile stairs are all electric. Increasingly now, many of the aircraft pushback tugs are electric as well. For a while, there just weren't any of those manufactured, but they're starting to be, which I think is very important. Wages at the airport in terms of the S and the ESG have increased pretty dramatically. I'd love to say that we played a primary role in that, but I think it has more to do with just the nature of what's happened in the world's economy since COVID. The workforce is finite. Salt Lake, you know, is a very rapidly growing economic area. And so we compete strongly for workforce. And I think I can safely say there is nobody who works at the airport who's making less than $15 an hour. And I could not have said that 3 years ago. So it's pretty exceptional. Many of them have free transit passes to get to the airport, which meets multiple goals of ours. They don't need to own a car to work here. And it's relatively inexpensive, in many cases free, in fact. And in terms of governance, Salt Lake City itself is a very transparent organization as municipal entities go. We do have an advisory board. We have public meetings. All of our documents, everything critical to the operation of the daily of the airport, are easily and readily available for people to see. And the great thing about going through this process on a regular basis, I don't know that it will always be annual, but it will be regular, is that you're forced to really see how you're doing. Are you maintaining that high level and that high standard? And I think in our case, I'm comfortable in saying that we are. And we've also gotten a lot of very positive feedback from the investment community. And I think this is a message to municipal entities, airports, everywhere, which is the people who are buying the bonds that allow you to build these new facilities want to see this information. And I have been, frankly, surprised. You assume the only thing people are really interested in is the quality of the product that you're putting out on the street. And the reality is They want to see more. They want to see who you are as an organization, what you stand for. Are you addressing those big issues that the world is confronting? Things like, where do you stand in the world of climate change, for example? And how do you treat the people who are employed and work in and around your facilities? Are you transparent or are you not transparent? It makes so much difference to the people who are actually buying the bonds. And they've placed a very high priority on that, which I find comforting and encouraging.
Yeah, it holds like a good standard of accountability. And so were some of the features that you mentioned above, were they rewarded and recognized in that Salt Lake City Department annual ESG report that I had like previously mentioned?
Yes. Yeah, so because we're building a brand new airport, and I always have to say that, I think, because there are some things that we're able to do because we're building a brand new airport. So in addition to the what most people would identify as the airport facilities, we built a brand new facility that manages, for example, all of the energy consumed at the airport, the electrical energy, the natural gas, which is used for heating and conditioning the air. And we have sensors on everything here. Nothing that moves does not have a sensor attached to it that we can monitor. So not only can we see what we're consuming, it gives us advice on how we can better tune, for example, moving walkways or escalators to just get that much, you know, more electricity so we can be making constant improvements. And it's showing us that we are. Our consumption of electricity, for example, is on a unit basis less today than it was a year ago. It's way less today than it was 5 years ago in the old airport. Now, eventually, we will consume more because the facilities are just that much bigger. But on a unit basis, we're on a per passenger basis, we're consuming much, much less energy than was initially the case. The other thing that we're able to monitor pretty effectively, the old airport, I'm just going to hold my hand up. This is kind of what it looked like if you were to draw it out, these concourses of my fingers. And then, you know, right at the initial stage, there was a connector that passengers would use to get to their concourse. And inside any pair of those fingers, anytime an aircraft was moving, no other aircraft movement could take place. Well, right. Salt Lake is a hub airport. And Delta Airlines, which is our hub carrier, all their planes come in at once and they all leave at once. And that was not a very efficient design. And it was also a tremendous contributor to carbon pollution, to fuel consumption. Now, all of our taxiways are dual. They're parallel to one another. And so no plane ever has to wait for another to get out of its way. So planes can come in and depart. And that has accounted for a dramatic reduction in both the fuel used, which is obviously a financial benefit to the airlines who are paying for that, but also for the carbon that is generated. And I think I indicated to you before the podcast that we're continuing to open various aspects of the airport. In another couple of years, everything will be open. And the efficiency of aircraft movement counts for just a tremendous improvement in our overall carbon footprint in the valley here in Salt Lake Valley. And I always like to say to people that the day the new airport opened was probably the best day of improved air quality in the history of the Salt Lake Valley. And all of this we're able to capture in our ESG report. Were we not doing this, not only would we not be capturing that information, we wouldn't be able to share it very effectively. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is so valuable here. You have essentially a format which we're not deciding. We didn't decide, you know, what aspects to report on, but now we have a metric and or a series of metrics that we can use to assess that.
Mm-hmm.
Very
okay.
Exciting.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, that does sound really exciting. And actually, on that note, some of the features that you have just mentioned with your ambitions for sustainability and sustainable development, how do they fall in more broadly with Salt Lake City Airport's four goals of sustainable development. So I've got here some of your goals are air quality and climate change, energy usage, recycling and material management and waste resources. Could you explain in detail what exactly these goals are, the progress that they've made, and some of the ambition that these goals set out to achieve?
Yeah, I think air quality and climate change is always an interesting one because you can make progress on both at the same time, but they're not exactly the same thing. Climate change in Salt Lake City, it's global climate change. And so to the extent that we're contributing carbon to the upper atmosphere, we are affecting climate change. But here in Salt Lake, we're surrounded by the airport, the community, the Wasatch Front, as it is called, is surrounded by two mountain ranges. And so we get these about this time of year, we'll start seeing inversions that occur because the temperature on the ground is cooler than it is in the air. And so the air cannot escape. And whatever is in the atmosphere, whatever is in the air, sits there. And so particulate is a huge issue here. It is not everywhere, but it is here. And so that isn't exactly the same thing as climate change, but we, by attacking those things that contribute to the accumulation of particulate, we're also doing good things, I think, for the climate. So whatever we can do to reduce carbon consumption contributes really to both of those goals, air quality and climate change. I mentioned earlier that we have electrified the ground service equipment fleet to a large extent. We just got a grant from the FAA to acquire four electric shuttle buses. We, like most airports, have very large shuttle fleets. Historically here, they've been renewable natural gas, and we will be shifting away from that to electric buses. Now, step back for a moment. We are a department of the City of Salt Lake Corporation, which has negotiated a 100% renewable energy use agreement with the local utility here, Rocky Mountain Power. And it's, I think, largely because of the size of the load that the airport represents that the city was able to negotiate this agreement. We brought a lot of consumption to the marketplace. And so we are committed to electrifying the campus here. We've installed in our new parking facilities lots of charging equipment. We will continue to do so as the fleet of private automobiles becomes increasingly electrified. We ourselves are beginning to buy electric vehicles, so much so that I'm thinking at some point in the not too distant future, we will probably have to build our own substation because our consumption of electricity will grow to that extent. We have a couple of rental car companies, one in particular, Hertz, who has just acquired 100,000 Teslas for their U.S. Fleet. And obviously, many of those will be coming here to Salt Lake. And we're frankly not able to service them on our campus at the moment to the extent that they desire or need. And so we'll be doing that. But I think, you know, electrification of airport campuses really makes a lot of sense. There is a tremendous amount of activity here, but it's all constrained to a fairly small place. So building the infrastructure to support an airport is a lot simpler than it might be a residential neighborhood or a low density commercial district or whatever. So I think we're really on the cutting edge of what will begin to happen all over the world.
I think it's so good that Salt Lake City airports have been such a good example of modifying and electrifying everything to an extreme that you now need to have your own sort of electrification base at the airport. I think that example is just going to resound with the rest of the world as they too catch up with their own sustainability plans. But please continue what you were saying.
Yeah, it's on that point, it's very expensive, obviously. I think the airport employs maybe 30 electricians. The estimate for our own substation is it'll take 40 all by itself. So that just gives you a sense of scale and scope. But I don't think we'll be able to do all of these things without making a step like that that will really help us execute on electrification of the campus. So on waste as an example, we separate the waste stream here at the airport before it goes to the landfill, before it goes to recyclers. You know, I think at least in this country, what people are beginning to confront is that home recyclers don't always do the best job of separating their waste into the appropriate streams. And we've decided here, we just have to do that ourselves to be sure that we are, in fact, sending the appropriate streams to the appropriate places. We do a lot of recycling here. We do food waste recycling. We do, you know, the traditional types of recycling as well, and all intended to, A, reduce the volume of material that's going straight to a landfill and increase the volume of material that can be recycled and or reused, which is our objective. And I think, you know, a subject that's very big here that isn't necessarily big everywhere is water. Utah, I think, is the second driest state in the nation. And so when the new airport was being built, all of the landscaping was constructed in a way to absolutely minimize the amount of water used. And I think we've been very successful. You won't see a sprinkler anywhere on our campus. And we have reduced the consumption of water significantly. And I would say also, when the airport was being built, local citizens were asked in a series of surveys and polls, what is it that you want from the airport? And there were the obvious things, more bathrooms and more places to charge and so on and so forth. But one of the observations that many people made was, we want people, because it's a hub airport and so many people land here but don't get out of the airport, we want people to know they're here in Salt Lake City. So we want it to look and feel like the surrounding community and the sort of the nature and essence of Utah. And so in colors, in textures, in landscaping materials, lots of rock, lots of red rock in particular, but things that do not require a lot of water, because we're really, frankly, in a desert environment. And so that's what we've replicated through our landscaping. And that was not the case in the old airport. The old airport was a pretty heavy consumer of water, and we've been able to change that pretty significantly.
Yeah, it's good that you sort of learn from the old airport to improve operations in the future, and also that you've decided to include the community's opinion on this, because the community is just as important with airport operations. So thank you for that. My next question to you is, out of these four goals, you know, air quality, electrification, or water management, which one has been the most challenging to accomplish and why?
I would say probably electrification, and it's for reasons that are probably pretty obvious, but the grid in the United States was really not constructed for the purpose to which we are now putting it, which is things like electric vehicles, for example. And as I said, I think airports are pretty uniquely suited to address that challenge because we're so densely concentrated in one place. So the utilities can bring power to us much more efficiently than they can less densely developed locations. And I think water was not really that challenging. I mean, it's not that it was easy or inexpensive. It just wasn't that challenging because it's the kind of thing that you can see happening all over Utah. And so not only is there a lot of support for it, but also just lots of examples to draw from, lots of people in the landscape profession here who are doing this kind of work. So it was relatively simple. I think the same on the waste stream. There was nothing particularly difficult about doing that. It's labor intensive, yes, but we kind of know how to do that. That kind of work has been going on for quite a while. And so I think electrification is probably the biggest challenge, and it's ongoing.
Understood. And it's more sort of broader than situations within your control. As you mentioned, it's the electric grid in the US. Yeah, I understand. So thank you. So the next thing I'd like to ask you is, would you be able to explain some of the unique characteristics of SLCA's sustainability plans? So I've read about, you know, Rocky Mountain power lighting that you just mentioned, de-icing reclamation plant, terminal recycling, and trying to think of creative ways to save energy and be green. How do you go about doing this?
First, in the new airport, of course, again, if you're building a new facility, you really get to do things that is much more difficult if you're simply remodeling. And so the buildings themselves were built to consume less energy. The glass doesn't absorb as much sun, for example. Yet, you could go out on the terminal today. It's a dark kind of day. It's cloudy. It's been raining. And if we turned all the lights off, you could still function very easily inside the terminal building. And that was not the case in the old airport. And so lots of natural light, which I think is critically important. But just by way of saying, we did a lot of just small design things that made the facilities themselves much less energy centric. And so that's made, I think, a huge difference. I think that I mentioned water earlier, but very important here in Salt Lake, and it's very visible too. You know, not to digress too much, but you go around the residential neighborhoods here, and if somebody is watering their lawn, you know, at 8 a.m. and the sun's out, they're going to hear about it. And so people pay attention to the consumption of resources like that because they've just been made aware through daily living that it's critically important to do that. So we work very closely with the city's sustainability program, and they with us as well, because this is so large. Salt Lake City is a city of 200,000 people that finds itself owning an airport that is the 23rd largest in the United States, which the city is not. So we learn a lot from each other. And so electricity, air quality are really important to the city of Salt Lake for very obvious reasons. And if you come here on almost any winter day, you will physically experience why that is the case. And so we do work very closely with them. We have enrolled in the Good Traveler program here, which encourages individual travelers to offset the carbon associated with their travel. This is still relatively new. And this is a concept, this is an idea at least, that's been around for a long time. But I have a feeling that the time is right, that people are increasingly aware that travel itself is a major contributor to climate change. And here is a relatively inexpensive way to help. The city is trying to identify a local nonprofit that would be the provider. And I like that idea a lot because, particularly for local people, they want to know, you know, what this is. It's not just some big global thing that is invisible to them, that they themselves are actually making a difference and are offsetting, you know, the expense, the climate expense of their own travel.
I think that's absolutely important. And actually, on that note, could you just tell us a little bit more about the Good Traveler program and why you think it is important travelers are included in this discussion as well?
Yeah, the Good Traveler program is, as I said, relatively new. I think it started in San Diego. The company is called Jet Set Offset, which I like because it kind of identifies the topic in its own name. And it allows people to go, for example, to our website, and you fill out some information, and it'll identify for you ways in which you can offset your travel. And I think having a single, and I hope it becomes a single national model, is very important because, you know, travel by nature means you're going from here to there and somewhere else. And having a single model, I think, is particularly important so that people are not confused. It's relatively simple to enroll in and to participate in. And as I said, ours is still pretty new. And so we have not collected a lot of data yet about its level of success, but it gives us something that we can easily promote. because we own the airport, we control all of the channels of communication inside. And so we will be able, and we will, in fact, promote this program as aggressively as we can.
Absolutely, as I think you should. I think it's a responsibility for all of us to work towards being just more environmentally sustainable and aware. So thank you. So I'd like to ask you next, I've read some of your airport infrastructure is weather resistant. So how is it designed to weather natural forces? And why is this important in today's day and age when we're seeing time and time again that there are climate events happening that are affecting airport operations?
Well, in our case, there are certainly climate events. We get wind here. The airport is at about 4,800 feet above sea level. We get a lot of snow in the winter, typically. And, you know, it's funny, at the airport, when we hear it's snowing, we're not always that excited, but everybody else in town is thrilled because it means they're going to go skiing that weekend. There is a seismic fault along the Wasatch Front that affects the airport. Now, the airport here in Salt Lake is actually built on a lake bed, the old original Bonneville, which became the Great Salt Lake. And so the soil conditions are not great, to be honest, for construction. There is no reachable, available bedrock to tie into. And so the construction technique had to provide a level of seismic security to meet the challenges that have been identified in terms of the size of potential earthquakes without the use of bedrock, because none existed. And so I won't go into the description, but the contractors have developed a technique that allows us to do this. Ironically, in April of 2020, before the new airport opened, we did have an earthquake here, and it was about a 5.8, which is not as large as the one that I think is predicted like almost any time now, but enough to tell whether you've made a difference. So we were close enough to opening to be able to come into the construction area and see how things performed, and they performed incredibly well. There was no damage in the new facilities, and in the old facilities, there was quite a bit of damage that we could see. In fact, we lost really a day's worth of travel. We had to evacuate the airport, reset all of the security checkpoint equipment, rescreen all of the passengers so they could get on their plane and get underway. And so construction technique here has had to take into account the what we now know about the seismic vulnerabilities that are present here in the Salt Lake Valley. And as you do that, you also make the airport much stronger in terms of withstanding weather events. Wind is something we can get here in significant portions. It doesn't rain a lot in Salt Lake, just by our nature. We're in the desert, but we do get a fair amount of snow. And so when you're building an airport in a place like this, you really have to account for what's involved in moving snow around. Planes are de-iced in the winter. We have changed over the years, really, the whole industry has changed the kind of material that's used in de-icing. But nevertheless, we have to collect it all. We have to treat it. And then it is actually resold to the manufacturers who can work their magic on it and turn it right back into the material that is then used that we buy from them. So all of it is 100% of it is recycled. Yeah. So you have to build all of your systems to be able to manage that effectively. And I think we've been able to do that.
Understood. Wow, it's really interesting how you've been able to promote a circular economy by just sort of giving it back and having that recycled and then purchasing it back. It's really impressive. So for my next question, I'd like to ask, could you just tell me a bit more about, you know, your recycling program that we sort of just mentioned and how that operates?
I was invited the other day and I didn't have the time to do it, but I'm going to go one of these days and watch the waste stream separation process, which is kind of as you would imagine. The waste stream for that day for the airport is taken to a large piece of pavement and everything's dumped out and people wade in and separate the waste stream. And there obviously appropriately clothed and so forth. But I think we found over time, it's really the only way to guarantee that the waste streams are pure and they go to their intended purpose and are used for that purpose. And I think in my old hometown of Portland, for a while at least, they were finding that they simply couldn't guarantee that somebody who said this was cardboard, it didn't have food waste on it, and so forth and so on. And they would end up, the whole waste stream would end up going to the landfill. And the only way to really guarantee that is to have this kind of secondary separation, which we do here in Salt Lake. It's manual, it's intensive, but it's very important. But again, we're a major producer of waste and waste streams. So we're able to do that in a way that would be really challenging, I think, for a municipal entity where you're collecting from, you know, 100,000 cans maybe and bringing them into a single location. Here, we own it all and we can separate it and put it on its way.
And there's a good sort of, like, as I mentioned before, good level of accountability and making sure that things are properly recycled, which is good to hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So under your objective of air quality and climate change, you talk about alternative sources to power your operations. So what exactly are these alternative sources and these alternative fuels, and what are they sort of made up of?
Well, I would say the primary reference there is probably renewable natural gas. And so, like many places, the local natural gas utility does recycle gas that is created from landfills and other waste streams that would otherwise be vented into the atmosphere. And so we signed, this is actually several years ago, a large contract with them to use that renewable natural gas. If they would capture it, we would use it. And we have been using it in our shuttle bus fleet for some time. We don't have a lot of solar on site. We have some. One of our firehouses is primarily managed through solar panels on its roof. But solar panels at airports can be very complicated for a variety of reasons. So as I mentioned earlier, we have participated importantly with our city in negotiating a green power agreement. And just because of our size and the load that we present to the marketplace, it makes it very worthwhile. Utah has a tremendous amount of solar farms and solar energy capture because we just have so much sunshine and so much desert. And so I think it's probably another 3 years, the city will actually be 100% solar power, and that will include the airport. Very important. We do have backup energy in the form of generators in the event the power goes down, which it does periodically. And those are all diesel. And that's something over time that we will evaluate for viable alternatives. You know, hydrogen is actually being produced here in Utah in some quantity, though I'm not satisfied that it's really a green alternative yet. Hopefully the day will come when it is. And that's the kind of thing that could be a real game changer as well. And then the biggest thing we do in terms of all of this is simply reduce the amount of energy that is required to do tasks that we do over and over and over again through things like design and engineering.
I think the greenest energy that we use is the ones that we don't use, actually.
So that's, correct. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely important. Yeah. So finally, as my final question to you, overall, how has the progress for the SLCA's use of sort of solar farms and upkeep of its natural wetland been? I've read that you sort of have like a natural wetland aside of the airport and you do maintain that pretty well. So how has that been? And just, I guess, in general, how's the progress of SLCA's broader sustainability goal has been as well?
Yeah, I think the wetlands program has been very effective. You know, it's not by accident that many airports are in low-lying flat areas, which tend to be attractive for wildlife and so forth. And we're immediately adjacent to the Great Salt Lake, which is just a huge migratory bird attractor, as it were. And years ago, when the airport was building its far west runway, it did involve the removal and ultimate remediation of a number of wetlands in the area. And so we constructed, I think, you know, I'm trying to remember what the ratio is, but it might be 2-1. So for every one destroyed, you build two or something along that lines. So it's a very large wetlands that is adjacent to the airport, and it's gone incredibly well, and we're very pleased with it. It doesn't require an overwhelming amount of management, but it does require management. You have to pay attention and make sure. So we have staff who are out there all the time making certain that it's performing as intended. And of course, this is a government regulation requirement. And so the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers periodically inspects our work to be sure that everything is going nicely. And, you know, the Salt Lake International Airport sits on about 9,000 acres. So we're always doing something that requires remediation of one sort or another. And owning a wetlands is particularly helpful because it gives us, I think, the experience that is required to know what you need to do in order to maintain and manage and operate wetland operations. So it's been very, very helpful. And I think we're not the only airport in the country that has wetlands issues. You think about the West Coast, the United States, or the East Coast, all the airports are built near large bodies of water. So they all have to deal with these things. And so there is a lot of knowledge in the airport industry about wetlands and the proper use and operation of them, and lots of conferences and other opportunities to interact. So it's been extremely helpful, but it's a very important thing for us because our community, you know, knows and sees this wetland. It's fairly accessible to people. There are duck clubs on the other side who pay very close attention to what we do or don't do with respect to the wetlands operation. But it's been there for over a decade now and been very successful.
Great. Well, thank you. I think that sort of harkens back to the social responsibility airports must have, I guess, in just sort of existing. So thank you so much, Bill, for just really doing that deep dive into all aspects of SLCA's sustainability plans, including, you know, waste management, water management, and even like electrification. It's been really astounding to hear. To my audience, please join me in thanking Bill for his time today and talking at this podcast. If you are interested in what has been discussed, do be sure to check out Salt Lake City Airport's website or visit internationalairportreview.com for further information. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your peers, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Bill, again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this International Airport Review podcast. Remember to subscribe to the magazine and the podcast channel to be notified every time a new podcast is posted. Make sure you come back again soon to listen to our next guest. Thank you.